Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 28th of April, recording at 9:17 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were generally a little bit easier. Indonesia bucked the trend with a modest gain. The European stock markets saw losses, moderate losses, I should say. Under 2% for the most part, except for Stockholm, Sweden, obviously. And that was down over 4%, and that had been a relative strength leader. And Wall Street started weaker, then was a bit of a Bravara performance, pushed to the plus side. Not a lot, but the Dow, I think, was up about 60-some points at one stage. And Wall Street closed with very small losses of roughly a quarter to a third of a percent, less for the Dow. And long-dated government bonds, they were weaker in the U.S., a little bit firmer in Europe. Now, metals were weak across the boards once again. And copper down to 191.60. All of the industrial metals have been clipped. Precious metals were clipped in here today, although they're off their lows. But they took some big hits. Gold least among them, but bullion's back below the $900 level, currently at 893.80. And silver took a biggish hit, down to 1248 for the July contract. Platinum was clobbered down to 1097, and it had been as low as 1071. Agricultural commodity, well, I was going to say crude, is still just a little bit below that $50 level. So not much of a change there. Soft commodities were mixed, but a number of modest gains showing there. Okay, so what's going on overall? Well, at a time when global stock markets were showing signs of fatigue following magnificent rallies of between 6 and 8 weeks, and the leaders having, and the more persistent movers having the longer runs, and getting quite overstretched in the short term, and I emphasize that in the short term, and at a time when confidence was improving and somewhat generally, we've had the swine flu appear and spread from Mexico into the U.S., U.K., and in Scotland, two instances there. I think the U.S. is from California, Texas, across to New York. And I think there are even a couple of cases in New Zealand. So it's beyond the containment point, really, at this stage. And it's a concern that's going to linger, obviously. And people have already been making the comparison with the major flu epidemic that had occurred at the beginning of the last century. I've got a couple of good emails that have come in on this, but that was in 1918. That's when that flu started, and saying that some people have been saying that it appears to be quite similar to that one. Well, hopefully not, because that was a devastating flu, although it did not seem all that bad initially. I think it had first appeared in March, and it wasn't until August that it had morphed into a really massive killer. So what we have is a situation where, just as I said before, confidence was beginning to improve a little bit. We now have this potential black swan factor, which will prey on sentiment. And even if the damage is contained, as obviously we all hope it will be, people will be worrying about the possibility of it mutating into something more aggressive. And I think those concerns will persist for the better part of a year, I'm afraid. Now, at very worst, obviously it does have the position to be the dominant economic factor. But that's very much an outside chance here today. The immediate short-term impact is clearly it's bearish for sentiment, therefore it's bearish for financial assets. People will be concerned about global GDP growth. It will add to the short-term deflationary pressures that the world has been experiencing, and that may well prompt governments, particularly in the countries most affected, to implement even more inflationary monetary and fiscal policies. So that's not a good script at this stage. And for stock markets, the leaders, as I have been pointing out, as Owen and I have both been pointing out over the last week, the leaders are leading downwards now. The laggards have been holding up or just sort of losing a little bit of momentum, but they are vulnerable at this stage to at least a reaction in consolidation, which is what we've been looking for. And we will have to see. This new factor, this of swine flu, could change the game somewhat overall. Okay, now long-dated government bonds, I would have thought, would benefit somewhat from this environment, except everybody knows that they don't represent really good long-term value. And you'd have to think that we're going to have a nightmare flu outbreak to really cause those to be a genuinely profitable safe haven. Gold has not been immune to the selling pressure that we have seen in here today, although I would be surprised if gold didn't remain a reasonably good relative performer overall. Industrial metals have a good chance of moving from the upper side of their developing base formations back to the lower side of their developing base formations, at which point I will certainly be tempted to pick up some more long positions there. Meanwhile, I have opened more short positions in stock market futures. I was already short Japan from last week, and today I shorted the S&P 500 index and also the NASDAQ 100, 100 index. Those are hedge shorts. Really, Japan more than covered my BlackRock World Mining Trust long trade. I also have that in my long-term investment portfolio, and today's shorts were asymmetrical hedges against my long-term investment portfolio, which I'm not going to disturb. It's just, as with most markets, it had recovered very well in the last couple of months, but is susceptible here to some, at least some short-term selling pressure. So thus the thus those additional hedges. And in terms of currencies, we see the dollar index a little bit weaker in here today. It has been really, though, hovering around this 85 level for a fair while. The yen's still a bit steady. As I said yesterday, I would quite happy to. I'm sure the Japanese subscribers may not appreciate this, but from a trading perspective, I would not be unhappy to see the yen strengthen against, particularly against the Antipodean currencies and the euro. It is. It has been strengthening against them recently, but it had been very weak earlier on. Remember, the Bank of Japan had given it a nudge, and I suspect they will do it again. But it is sort of catch a falling knife territory in trying to buy the, say, the Antipodean currencies against the yen while it is ascendant. So I may miss the next play in this trade. But if the BOJ holds off and we get a self-feeding trend back down into the what I think are clearly developing bases for the Antipodean currencies and also a number of Asian currencies against the yen and also the US dollar, I would be tempted to pick up more positions. Once again, currently my only currency position is I'm short the US dollar against the Singapore dollar. And the dollar may become more vulnerable in here. I know that when markets were weak, there's been a knee-jerk reaction to go into dollars. But after Mexico, the US is clearly the country most affected by the swine flu. And therefore, that may well erode that bullish dollar sentiment somewhat. So, wrap it up. And this is not good for stock markets, certainly in the short term. This is not good for commodity markets in the short term. Both had had very good runs, and both are vulnerable to some additional reactions. And I think that pretty much covers the bases, and I'll be posting a comment of the day shortly. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.